Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Rich threw last inning in the third. Not many pitches, only 10, but this role was really dealing.
1-0 is a looper into center field that's going to be caught by Meadows, and the ball game is over. Tigers win it 4-1. They take 2 of 3, and the Red Sox stuck in neutral in the playoff push.
Second hour, KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. In for Jones and Keefe. Happy Labor Day to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll get to the Red Sox here in a couple of minutes. Let's get to the calls. Mike and Randolph, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. Happy Labor Day to you, man.
Hey, guys. Happy Labor Day. And first off, I just want to give my condolences to the Gaudreau family. It just shows you how precious life is and how it could just go away in a second, and what a tragedy that is, especially on, you know, Labor Day weekend. But yeah, I want to go back to both of you guys. I think, KJ, you were talking about why we watch in a left tackle last night. I think, Lyons, you were talking about the kid Wallace from Penn State. The biggest problem on this team, it's very simple, is the offensive line, right? And this kid Wallace was a really good right tackle at Penn State.
Right.
So what we do is we leave him at right tackle, and you go get yourself a bona fide left tackle, and now you are literally building from the tackles into the interior. And until they do that, I mean, guys, look at Bill. The reason this team is in influx right now is because of Bill Belichick. He destroyed this team, the GM, because he didn't know he lost. He lost his fastball when it was like at the end. He was Pedro throwing 84 miles an hour for the Mets as a GM, and it was terrible. He drafted Isaiah Wynn, a guard, as a left tackle. And you draft a tackle. Look back in the day, Matt Light, Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer. He drafted left tackles who are always left tackles. You need to draft a left tackle. You can't be moving all these pieces around. You get a left tackle, and that literally will develop your entire line. You keep Wallace at right tackle. I'll tell you guys, if David Andrews ever gets hurt this year, guys, oh my God, you're going to see an absolute dumpster fire. This team might go 0-17, and it's because of the last 7 years of drafting.
Mike, thanks for the call. Of course I'm joking about like watching paint dry with talking about offensive line. But the other part of that is, though, if that's such a case, and keep in mind, I think last year more offensive linemen were taken than wide receivers. So that shows you how much of a demand there is. There's more of a demand for linemen than there are for receivers. you're probably going to have to go spend the money instead of waiting and hoping, because let's say the Patriots only end up with the number three pick, but picks one and two need the same thing. So the guy that you have your eye on could be gone, and then what do? Like, you have to be in the mode to go spend to go get a star who's going to pay all the money they want to get here.
Yeah, and I think the issue is star left tackles especially, they just don't get to free agency. They don't generally get traded because they're so valuable. Because you mentioned about all the offensive linemen getting drafted. Like, we see it up close here in New England. There's a lot of subpar offensive line play across the right. NFL. And part of that is the way they're developed in college now and just the limited practice time in the NFL now. But, you know, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of subpar off. So it's really difficult to get those guys into. The caller's point, yeah, I would love Caden Wallace at right tackle long-term with Onwenu at right guard. You still need that answer at left tackle, which I think is your first-round pick next year. And David Andrews already has my vote for team MVP. They haven't played a game, but he's got my vote.
Let's go to Shane on the Cape. Shane, thank you so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air. Good Labor Day to you.
Hey, how we doing? We got some Sunday gospel on a Monday here with KJ and Lyons. We appreciate you guys working today. I agree with you, KJ, about talking about offensive linemen from LSU. Like, we got a football game on Sunday. Like, I'm worried about how do we contend and try and win a couple games. We're already punting the season. Like, it's unbelievable. Like let's just simulate it. John, this isn't NCAA football where in your dynasty you can just simulate a season to get to the next recruiting class or the next season. Like, I think these guys got to try and figure out how to win a couple games here and not end up with the first pick, you know. But appreciate you guys. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks, Shane. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, John. It's like, if I'm a fan, like, why are we kicking the ball down? Why are we kicking the can down the street already about the season, looking at college offensive tackles now when you need to win a game, another game? I think if this team just competes, I think if people understand that this team is in a rebuild, that's not a word you've ever heard. Have you ever heard that?
Since 2000, maybe.
So you probably don't even remember hearing the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So for some people, they've never, what does that mean? You know, it's almost like, what is a library? But it's at a point where you're like, hey, these things do happen. You have to realize that there's never been a such thing as a 20-year dynasty in any sport. The closest that could have come to that might have been the Canadiens back in the Guy Lafleur days.
The Celtics, or the Yankees, in the 60s.
The Celtics in the 60s. And that didn't even get to 20 years.
Right.
So you're talking about 20 years of consistency. How do you figure it out when most dynasties at best get you around 8 years?
Yeah. And I think, look, the players and coaches, they're going to try to win every single game, obviously. And as a fan, we all, and myself included, we want them to win every week, right? But I think organizationally and front office-wise, and I've said this before, and I hate to say it, but I think the messaging we're getting is that this season is much more about 2025 than 2026.
I don't like that. I don't like that statement.
No, and I'm not. Listen, I don't like to say it, but I think that's what, because I think what the organization wants is that when they finish the season in January, we can all walk away and say we feel good about Drake May and we feel good about Jerod Mayo. Because as we've seen here, if you have a good head coach and quarterback, you can be a really good team. We see it all across the NFL. So, I mean, I don't love that, but I think that's what the organization is telling us. And you think about all their whole rookie draft class made the roster, right? They love their rookies. They're going to try to develop these guys. So I'm not saying the players and coaches are going to go out there and tank, but what I am saying is I think the organization at the upper levels looks at this and says, we want to be good in 2025. Maybe we can try to be good this year, but we're really looking at 2025.
617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lyons, Labor Day, in for Jones and Keefe. Remember, follow us at Twitter, at WEEI, at The Real John Lyons, with no H in John, at KJ Carson. Let's go to Steve. Steve, thanks so much for calling WEEI. You're on the air, and happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, guys. So the Patriots took Drake May. We got to understand, they took Drake May and didn't take other players. They didn't go for the other pick. Call it the trade option. So I've heard they're supposed to go out and try to make this better by going to get the left tackle in San Francisco. And somehow somebody did. Give him a third round pick. Not that he's gonna come in. Trent Williams. They were supposed to get the wide receiver, Ayuk. They were supposed to do all this stuff, spend a lot of money, right? Keep it in mind, my overall call is about the millionaire effect and spending money. They're not coming here. We're loused. So we've gone down this road of Drake May, and now we have to look at where we're at as the first report card. He can't beat out Jacoby Brissett. I mean, that's just objectively what happened. We can say the coaching staff caused it and they had a preconceived notion, but his contemporaries are starting. The kid that is out for the year probably was going to be a starter. Yeah, and there's two or three other guys that started. So he is behind everyone in his draft class. Okay, great.
So what's your Steve, your question? We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. You have, instead of taking draft picks, which was the opposite choice, right? Which was taking Drake, but not taking Drake May, you'd have a few other guys. Draft picks don't make as much money. You can't, with taking Drake May, you're going to have to go out and try to spend money on other players, and you've got this millionaire tax potentially blocking you besides your poor play. So put the millionaire's tax in Massachusetts. Another reason you should not have gone on the Drake May experiment, which left you out two more draft picks. Plain simple. It's another answer that this was the wrong path. And it's going to be a decade, this decade problem, not a decade, 10 years, a decade.
Steve, thanks for the call. Look, yeah, I mean, the players have no control over the legislator, right? Unless they show up here on Beacon Hill, you know, like, we want to talk about this millionaire's tax.
The quarterback position, and I'm not against, like, trading down and doing stuff like that. I mean, the Patriots did it for years, and it was successful. But the quarterback position itself is so valuable and so difficult to get right that you have to be able to, if you believe in a guy like the Patriots do in Drake May, you have to take him and then build everything else from there. Even if that means he sits a little longer or maybe you're not good for a year, because we've seen teams multiple. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns. How many years did they take a tackle or a receiver or somebody else in the top five, or the Detroit Lions, and they had all these guys? I mean, you have to get the quarterback right
there. Here's an easier way to look at it. The last time the Patriots took a quarterback, they ended up trading him off for a sixth-round pick.
And also, too,
so you, not only did you not get the quarterback that you were hoping to help build your franchise back, but you virtually got nothing back in return. So that's what makes it doubly worse. But it's the chance you have to take, because you can't control that quarterback's number until he gets to year four. Then if you decide whether you want to renew the fifth, because you would have those rights through 5 years. So you can control that number, where if you go and get an established quarterback, that number's already going to be there, and you're going to have to pay it, even if that quarterback skill diminishes, right? Because then you have an untradeable asset. Look, we're up against the break. We'll get to the calls. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe. Now it's time to trend.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jacob Lasky.
Good Labor Day to you, KJN Lions, WEEI, a special show on a special day. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We will get to the Red Sox conversation here in 2 minutes. Let's go to Brian and his sons on Labor Day. I know Brian must be happy because those kids behinds are back in school here within the next day or two. Thank you so much for calling KJ and Lions. What you got, guys?
Hey, we were back in school on Wednesday, so we went before Labor Day, but I appreciate the call. Guys, I think COVID really screwed us up. I know, you know, a couple of guys took the season off, and I think it kind of fumbled everything that was going on in terms of, you know, who we drafted and what direction we're going in. And then, of course, we blew the budget, and I think we haven't caught up with that. Now, again, everyone went through that. I understand that. But, you know, it's been a slippery slope since then. I got my 9-year-old Anthony in the background. Anthony, what do you think?
I think that they should start Drake May because – I think that they should put Jacoby Brissett in like the first two weeks, and then they should put Drake back in.
I got Will, my 10-year-old Will. You got any thoughts?
No, Belichick screwed us over.
All right, thank you so much, Brian and Sons. Because
tough crowd for the 10-year-old.
I believe the children are the future. Let them know it's not going to be Drake May. I'm totally kidding. Look, the COVID fog, maybe that's the Cole Strange pick, right?
Well, the issue with the COVID thing for me, if you look at their 2020 draft, that's actually one of the better drafts they've had in the last 5 years. I mean, that's Duggar, that's Uche, that's Jennings, that's Onwenu. That might
maybe
be
the year after, right? Yeah. That's the year after where, you know, where Bill spends and goes and gets Jonnu Smith. He pays for Hunter Henry. Who else was in that buy? What's the guy? Aguilar was in that buy as well. So, like, yeah, those are not memorable pieces.
Jalen Mills was in there. Yeah.
Right, and then Cole Strange comes the next year. So, okay, yeah, I can't necessarily blame it on COVID, but I think if there is a weird perspective is the Tyquan Thornton, Cole Strange draft.
See, I blame that, and I'm not trying to absolve Bill, but I blame that on the combination of Bill and Matt Patricia. And the reason I do that, hear me out on this, is...
Wait, but Bill was in charge of everything.
Yeah, no, so I'm blaming him too, but what I'm saying is... That draft was when they were trying to change their offense to the West Coast style, and they put Patricia in charge, and they drafted Strange and Tyquan Thornton to
Wait,
fit that offense.
Wait, who put Patricia in charge?
I know. I'm getting there, KJ. So they put Patricia in charge, and Bill says, I want to run this offense similar to the Rams and the 49ers, right? So they draft two guys that they think are going to fit that. Obviously, both those guys aren't good enough players to begin with. Then you have a bad offensive coordinator and a system that doesn't work. Then you go to Bill O'Brien. Now you're at Alex Van Pelt, where maybe you're back to that system Tyquan Thornton was originally drafted for, and you notice he's probably going to start for them week one, and not that I'm a big Thornton backer, but I think that draft was a misstep, not just in the evaluation of players, but in the evaluation of we're going to change our offense and put Patricia in charge. It was like a twofold mistake that they've paid for 3 years now. Or 2 years,
so you're saying Strange and Tyquan Thornton were not good picks?
Oh, no, definitely not. Especially when George Pickens is on the board. Yeah, that's the other thing too, right?
Like, no.
George Pickens is on the board.
See,
and if
don't
you look
don't
at those
do
guys,
that because that's in that, well, you could have had Debo Samuel, you could have had
well,
these
yeah,
other guys.
Yeah, you could have.
You know, it's all
George
it's
Pickens
all,
was a much better football player than Tyquan
Thornton
in college.
There's no Everybody chance. There's no chance that you can go ahead and have Monday morning quarterbacking when it comes to drafting.
Yes, you can.
When the draft is in front of you, no, you don't
yes,
know.
You can.
Like, no,
KJ, Tyquan Thornton. First of all, Cole Strange was not worthy of a first round pick, and pretty much everybody knew that at the time. And George Pickens, if you just watch college football, George Pickens was a much better football player and better physical specimen than Tyquan Thornton. But they picked Thornton to try to fit that new offense, and it didn't work. If you just picked the better football player,
but you're implying that Thornton was horrible in college. Like
he
that's
was
all you
overrated.
Go by in college.
I watched him. He wasn't that good.
Okay,
like they should have seen
it's
that.
It's easier to say. What if Tyquan Thornton ended up being good? Then you say
then
hey,
I would
a
have
smart
been
pick.
Wrong. Hey,
see, that's the thing.
But
that's
I wasn't, just like
right
most
there.
People weren't.
Okay, the Red Sox are in trouble. And, you know, if you go back a couple weeks ago, people were kind of pointing to this series with Detroit. of like, hey, this is where they potentially could get healthy. They could get healthy in that series against Toronto, and maybe they can make this wild card race not only a real possibility, but potentially sitting in that last wild card spot. People were talking about how tough the Royals' schedule was going to be. The Royals are in a slump right now, but guess what happened with that Toronto and just what happened with that Detroit series? I there's a part of me that feels like, despite the Royals having this losing streak going on, they are now back in that third wild card spot. They've lost four in a row. But the Red Sox have lost, what, four of the last five?
They're 3-7 in their last 10, too, yeah.
Right, so...
And the weird thing is it's really, like, 3-8 because that Toronto game, that continuation game, still gets put on in their schedule, like, on ESPN and MLB.com in June. Right. I don't know why, you know, because it started in June. So right. Really, technically, it's not 3-7. It's really more like 3-8 because they lost that game,
and it still counts towards what you're trying to get to. So yeah. I just wonder if... We're at a point now, and you know, the September's call-ups are about to happen and everything. How does Alex Cora play this? You're 4.5 out. Watch this. Detroit's only a half game behind you in the chase for that third wild card spot. Yeah. That's what's absolutely
Seattle's
crazy.
Seattle's only a game.
Like, right, and Seattle has been struggling as well. In fact, they fired their manager in the course of this after they made all those Justin Turner, Rosarena. They got all those guys and haven't been able to move the ball. And here's Detroit where, you remember, they're like, hey, make a move for Skubal. And I was just like, I don't know if they would give up on him because at that time, I think they were 7 games out of the final wild card spot. And now here they are, 5 games out of the final wild card spot and just taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. How does Cora play this?
Another interesting aspect to think about during this series is that the Mets are in the exact same spot as the Red Sox in the National League. Yeah, so they're going to be desperate.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, you're playing a Mets team right now that's 1 game out of the wild card with actually a better record than the Red Sox with 73 wins. And if we remember back how bad the Mets were in like May and June, like they've totally turned their season around. They're playing great baseball. And the Red Sox, they're in a tough spot right now. Like 3 games... Okay, that's 1 series. You can make that up in a few days or, you know, 4 or 5 days.
I'm not going to do that math with these teams anymore looking ahead.
But four and a half games to make up. I mean, September 2nd is like, what, 4 weeks left in the season and you got to make up 4.5 games?
It's the equivalent of going to a teacher. You can relate this. Kid's had a C score. He has had a C all year. And he's like, okay, what do I have to get on the final to get a B?
Yeah.
And you're like 105?
Yeah, yeah. You need to get a 200.
And right, then you need a 200, yeah. And it's 20% of your grade. 617-779-7937, KJ and Lyons on WEEI for Labor Day. Let's go to Rick in Salem. Rick, thanks so much for calling the show. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Thanks for the call, my man.
Yeah. No, anyways, listen, and I'm not just taking yesterday's game out of it. This guy, I hate to keep beating this drum. This guy that's staring the ship in the dugout is clueless when it comes to pitching. He doesn't have a very good feel for it. And I believe this. I'm so disappointed they gave him a 3-year contract extension. I think he is so overrated. Brothers, I keep going here. He is so overrated as the manager. And like I said, he's clueless with pitching. He has no idea what he's doing, honestly. And like I said, forget about yesterday. This is the last few years watching some of the things he does, his head scratching. I hate this guy as a manager, and I am so disappointed we have him for 3 more years. And as long as we have him, brother, it's always going to be a scuffle even to get into the playoffs. All
Rick,
right,
thanks for the
you
call.
Guys have a good morning.
Yeah, you have a good afternoon.
So I think there are a couple decisions. Like there was the game a couple weeks ago. It was actually during the WEEI Jimmy Fun Telethon. They played Texas that night, and Cutter Crawford had like a perfect game in the 6th inning, gave up a couple hits, I think 1 run. Cora pulls him, the bullpen implodes, and it's like that's kind of early to pull a guy who had been cruising.
Yeah, he pulled Criswell yesterday after 50 pitches.
And then the same thing happens yesterday. Criswell's pitching a phenomenal game. You pull him, your bullpen falls apart. And this is something, KJ, I mean, you and I talked about this before. At the All-Star break, the Red Sox bullpen had thrown the 10th most innings in the MLB, and they were 11th in bullpen ERA. They were holding their own, but we still sat there at the All-Star break and said, hey, they don't have the depth of arms in that bullpen to be pitching the 10th most innings. They need some reinforcements, and they need their starters to go deeper. They tried to get some reinforcements. I thought Lucas Sims was okay before he went on the IL. Their other reinforcements were not good enough, and their starters just have not been going deep enough in games. Like these issues we talked about at the All-Star break, this isn't new.
Let me ask you this because you wonder, because yesterday was a head-scratch. You're like, wow. Criswell is kind of on his stuff. The game is still in the – in fact, the game is in the balance, clearly. Why would you pull him when you know you're going to the weaker portion of what you're doing? And this is where I will agree with the call. Do you feel like maybe, and this is what I do, sometimes Cora will make decisions that are not necessarily about the game in front of you, but about the franchise as a whole, right? Like, this is what you get, what you pay for. So I'm going to potentially protect Criswell, even though he's rolling right now, just to show you how inept the bullpen has been. And this has been the situation for the last 3 years. And sometimes you hear me, for those who listen to KJ and Lyons, thank you for buying all the merchandise and supporting us and sending in the letters. We appreciate the letters you send into management. But you've heard us talk about, is this a situation where Alex Cora is saying, this is what you get, what you pay for this, and I'm going to put it out there on display so that way you can see how bad it is. Do you feel like a piece? It doesn't have to be 100. Do you feel like maybe 10% of that? Is that?
I think last year there was part of that. Because what was that game? And was it late August, early September, where he left like Bernardino in there forever and getting smoked? I don't think that's necessarily been a case this year. I think he's been too quick on the trigger because I think there's an element of him that doesn't trust their starting rotation enough. And that was another thing we talked about. We've been talking about this since December, for those who have been listening to us, that they had a rotation full of guys that sure had potential, but that had never pitched full seasons. And they didn't have that big horse or two at the front of their rotation, and they chose not to get one in the offseason. And I think there's a part of Cora that's like, well, I don't want these guys to go too deep in games, because that third time through the order, they get hit a lot harder. And he starts to pull guys maybe a little too early in some instances. And at another side of this coin, KJ, is while he's done this, the Red Sox offense has just stagnated and started to fall off over the last 3 weeks. I mean, remember early on after the All-Star break, they were losing games, but the ones they were winning were like 7-4 or 9-5.
Right, the high-scoring games.
Now they're losing those games 4-3. Right, they're not scoring those extra 5 or 6 runs.
I would say watch out for the Red Sox to lose in games like that.
And you said that, right? Yeah, I think you said that a couple weeks ago. Like, watch out for them losing that 3-2 game instead of, you know, winning it 7-4. And I think we've seen that happen. Real, I mean, they have a losing record since the All-Star break, but we've seen it happen especially over the last 2.5 weeks or so.
I think if there's going to be a narrative when you get towards the end of the season, if there's two things you'd be able to discuss about the Red Sox of why did it go so wrong, or you might be saying, like, how did they get in by the skin of their teeth? Either can still happen. I'll be fair with that. Is A, the record at home being 7 games under .500 makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you're 31 wins at home is only better than the Angels at home and the White Sox at home in the American League. That's embarrassing right there. And then your record against teams over 500, right? You're 32-48. That is only better than the Chicago White Sox, who have 107 losses. I almost wonder, like, how are they going to do a 30-for-30 on that, considering they've only got 31 wins? And it's only better than the Oakland A's. So when you're playing against these teams that are over 500, you have to ask yourself, how do you expect them to be a wild card team if you're not beating the teams that, guess what, are going to be in the wild card and the playoffs and have over 500 records? And that's what's kind of baffling. The only thing that's really been the story that saved them this year is their incredible record on the road, 10 games over 500. So, like, why is there a disconnect? I would expect maybe the opposite, 10 games over 500 at home and maybe, say, 500 on the road. But now you'd be looking at a team that would probably be maybe at worst a game away from the wild card.
And another thing, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but their fielding, which is, by the way, fielding percentage last in the MLB, most errors committed last in the MLB. I think they have 99 errors right now. But it feels like their
defense... Does that win you a free meal, the 99 errors?
No, the kids have been starving lately, I'll tell you that. But it feels like, to me, their defense has been much better on the road, ironically, than at Fenway. And it's not just like, oh, the Green Monster thing. It just feels like their defense, including their infield defense, has just been, for whatever reason, has just been better on the road. And there's the stat, Will Fleming had it on a pregame show I did with him. They only have, like, on the Friday night games at Fenway when they come home from a road trip, I think they only have like 3 wins all season on a Friday night. And they were like, at the time we talked, Will and I talked like a week or so ago, they were like 3-8 on Friday nights at Fenway or something.
See,
like,
that's crazy.
It's bizarre,
And think how many times, you should never say that Sweet Caroline has been played more times when you've lost than when you've won. Like,
shouldn't
that's kind of embarrassing.
At all, anyway.
Right. Like, that's one of those things. Like, that's a very big thing there, because it's like, okay, is it the business of the fan experience, or is it the business of, like, okay, man, like, why are we playing this celebratory song? And look, I get it. It's for the fans. And at the end of the day, you want those gates to click near 4 million. That's the idea, right? But at the same time, you're like, hey, listen, they're getting hammered out there. We're singing it in Jubilee. You know, does that potentially play into the psyche of like having a losing record at home? Sweet Caroline has been played more times in a loss at home than it has been played when they've won.
And I wonder if some of this is their lineup, because they don't really have a lineup constructed to be great at Fenway Park. And they have a good lineup. They're top 10 in the MLB in average. They can hit the ball well, but they don't have really any right-handed power outside of Tyler O'Neill, who hits for a low average. So,
well, that was supposed to be Trevor Story.
Sure. But so it's a lefty-heavy lineup. They don't use the monster, I think, as much as past Red Sox teams have. So maybe that plays into it as well, but it just feels like their defense is better on the road, and maybe their lineup just isn't quite constructed for a Fenway Park atmosphere. But it's kind of bizarre. I mean, we're talking about a team that's in the wild card race and is one of the worst teams in the MLB at home.
Yeah, I don't know how it gets fixed. There has to be some type of miracle. When you look at the elimination numbers for the different divisions in the AL East, you clearly see that it's a Orioles Yankees thing. That's all it's going to be. You look at the Red Sox number; it's probably elimination number is probably around 20 right now. But when you look at the AL Central, all those numbers are stacked. So meaning like all of them have a chance not only to win the AL Central, but the way things are playing out, there's a good chance that those two teams that don't win the AL Central will end up being the other two wild card spots behind who doesn't win between the Yankees and the Orioles. So that's why I think it makes it so tough is the Red Sox are on the verge of being eliminated just from winning their division. But in the AL East and the AL Central, you still have races going on. And I think that's the other thing that hurts the Red Sox, is that they're not in the middle. Now, even Detroit now is somewhat in that AL Central race. So literally, everybody in the AL Central, except for the White Sox, has a realistic chance to win that division. Meanwhile, we're talking about like what the Red Sox need to have happen above them for them to make that move, and they're all trying to run for a division title.
Shout out to the White Sox, by the way, for their 107th loss this weekend, franchise record.
I wonder if they gave out a, do you have to give out a, yeah, there you go. What a way to give your bosses the finger, you know, like we're going to show you the worst way we possibly can. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lyons. Next, we'll talk to Kari Parsons out in Vegas, some NFL odds, futures, as well as college football. Hang out, and thank you so much for being here. Yeah. KJ and Lyons on your Labor Day. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to your text messages shortly. We'll talk to Kari Parsons. He is in Vegas, part of our BetQL family at BetMGM, part of the Odyssey Network. John, speaking of Odyssey, I tease that I have pulled something magnificent for this show in the name of getting us more attention. I won a company contest. Well, let me specify by saying how I won the it wasn't like the grand prize winner. It was like two people win this and the remaining four or five other people get this. So I was one of the other four or five remaining people, but I'm the only one at the Boston office who has won this gift. And that was for National Radio Day. You probably saw the hashtag maybe last week. I forgot what day it is. It seems to change every year. And so the company asked, you know, share your favorite memories of being in radio. And so I shared the night that my wife and my daughter, Sarah, raised $362,000 in one night for the March of Dimes of New England. I'm sure it's still a record. It might be a national record because National started contacting us like, hey, what else can you do for us? So I shared that and won a lovely book bag. So tell me if I'm wrong when I tell you this, John, because this is the mini flex that I was about. I got to pull. One day I asked, like, share it on social. I'm like, why don't I just share it on our job? I looked at the brand of the book bag to see how much it was worth. Was that wrong?
You know what? I think it's human nature. I think I won't dog you for that.
How much is this book bag actually worth? And I have to tell you, I was very impressed. So much so that during the week when it was shipped to my house, I sent you a picture of it. It's a very nice book bag. But it's one I don't think I should bring into the office because that's like a weird kind of minor flex. Like imagine walking past Mike or Ken knowing that they might not have won the contest that I won, and I'm carrying the Odyssey book bag around the office?
I have an Odyssey backpack, too, and I bring it every day.
But so you bought yours, didn't you?
No, I just got it sent to me when I was hired. Yeah.
Oh, so that was because, hey, welcome aboard.
I think yours is nicer because you won the contest, but I got
mine's is, it looks like it's fire retardant. That's how like impressive it was, because when I looked, I was like, you know, you're trying to match up the book bag online with the exact one you have. And then you add in, okay, how much more did they pay for the engravement of the Odyssey logo in there? So, yeah, it was just an absolute honor to work with the March of Dimes.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. Legitimately awesome story.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, my daughter is born with cerebral palsy, born, was in the NICU for 114 days. And so now she's 13 and thriving well. And so, you know, being the parent of a special needs child, we don't really necessarily see her as a special needs, but just as a special child who needs us a little more. And I think that's just the great work of the March of Dimes. So maybe I should give a shout out to the March of Dimes more so than you, because now you're saying, well, I got a book bag too. Like, well, how do you diminish that?
But yours is fireproof because your takes are so hot.
I haven't. Right. That's well, why. There you go. You don't have to tickle the taint with me. Okay. 37937. Let's get a text and then we'll get to Corey, who's out in Vegas. What you got?
All right, let me check the text line here. First up, we have, let's see. Does Cora manage with analytics or by his gut?
I would have to say pulling Criswell at 52 pitches had to be something analytic.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was cruising. And just like I said, that Texas game a couple weeks ago with Crawford, like, he was cruising and they pulled him.
One more and then we'll get to Corey and bets to the future.
We have, give him, let's see, no, they need to make an offer Toronto can't refuse for Vlad. I'll drive Casas to Logan.
Well, he won't be staying at the Hilton Logan, right, because nobody's working there right now?
I like Vlad, but does he come with an extension, too? That's a piece of this.
That would be the main thing. You look, clearly, if it's about getting a right-handed bat that protects Devers, because I think that's the other part of it, I think you have to tickle and entertain that thought. Toronto may be a team that's looking in the offseason to unload some of the high money. Remember, they spent all that money a couple years ago. What's the guy?
Otani faked him out.
Right. Alek Manoah has not panned out after they gave him his money.
Yeah, so, he was down in AAA for a while. Yeah, he's had actually, I kind of feel bad with him.
He probably pitched against the Portland Sea Dogs.
Yeah.
He was that bad for him.
I know. If he comes on this show, Christian Arcand can ask him about the yips. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what was. So that's something that possibly could happen. You know, look, you believe that keep what you've grown, and Cassis is in that realm, but at the same time, have you kept what you've grown? I mean, the remaining weed is Devers, so.
Yeah. I mean, I am a believer in Casas. I think he can be a great MLB player.
Yes.
If you can get Guerrero like with an extension, though, I'd still do that.
Right, especially where he's
but
still in
his
prime years.
But I wouldn't do without an extension, to be clear.
And he could play first and third for you. So if that's the case where you need to give Devers off as a DH, you don't have to worry who's the third baseman. And if you need to give where you have a first baseman that's already there. So yeah, Vlad answers a lot of questions.
Is Kyle Schwarber available? He was pretty good when he was.
Yeah, he's probably like, you know, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Is Manny Ramirez available?
Did you see the video of him just raking still with all the long hair?
And, gotta be honest, and he's that's doing, fun. And he starts he's like videos, 55 years old.
And he starts it off with a Bible verse. That guy's incredible. Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Coming in about 15 minutes, we'll discuss the Patriots situation. We know that Jerod Mayo is going to have his press conference next hour. But right now it is time for...
You're up right now. Write it out.
Too many mouths. You mean bed?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000, $10.
The future. All right, let's bring in Corey Parson, part of the BetQL network. He is in Vegas, so he's literally up before 9 a.m. Corey, let's talk about some of the futures in the NFL and in college football. First, tell me who's the team to beat before we get to the odds in the NFL. Give me the three teams you think are to beat.
In college football or in the NFL?
In the NFL.
In the NFL, I believe the three teams to beat going into this season are obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to stay in the AFC with the Cincinnati Bengals, and I believe the Green Bay Packers are into a big season as well. So I would say that those are the three teams to beat as we get ready to ramp up and get into week one of the NFL season.
I want to ask you about the MVP discussion, because Jalen Hurts is a guy I look at that I think can win the MVP. They added a lot to that offense, but they did fail down the stretch of the season last year. Do you like him at MVP, or is there someone else out there we should be thinking of?
I would look across at his opponent on Friday night, and I would look at Packers quarterback Jordan Love. seen these odds about 16-1. Obviously, they're starting to come down as we get closer to the season. But I think that Jordan Love is the sum of the parts on the Green Bay Packers. I'm looking for him to have a big season this year. So, actually, one of the tickets I did purchase while I'm out here is Jordan Love to be the league's MVP this year. So, I'm in on Jordan Love on that award.
Well, Corey, clearly you're in love with Jordan Love and the Packers. The Packers 16-1 to win it all. Bills 16-1. Bengals 13-1. Eagles 12-1. Same thing with the Lions. The Ravens are 10-1. 49ers 6-1. And the Chiefs 5-1. Outside. So do you believe, you said your three teams are the Bengals, the Packers, and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to be the easy money. Out of the, who has a better chance to getting to the Super Bowl, do you think? The Bengals or the Packers?
I would look at the Cincinnati Bengals because I think that's a team that's been there. They've done that before. They have climbed to that top of the mountain and actually knocked down Patrick Mahomes. Only Joe Burrow and Tom Brady have been able to do that. And it's so incredibly tough to go back to back to back. So when you look at the AFC, I thought last year was a year for the Bengals. Obviously, that didn't work out with Joe Burrow's injury. This year, they get a nice soft landing to start the season. I expect the Bengals to wrap up a big record this year. I could even see the AFC Championship game being in Cincinnati.
Okay, rookie of the year. First 10 picks of the draft were all offense. We saw a lot of teams invest heavily in trying to upgrade their offense. Chiefs got Xavier Worthy later in the first round, too. Who do you like for rookie of the year this year?
And listen, this has really become a quarterback award, and rightfully so, but I think the two quarterbacks at the top are the two best options. I think Caleb Williams is going to be able to lead this Chicago Bear team to the playoffs this year. And I also like Jaden Daniels a lot, too. I think Jaden Daniels could be in for a special season this year. That kind of skill set coupled with Cliff Kingsbury's play calling, an NFC East that I don't think is that tough. I would even take out a ticket on the Commanders to win that division. I like Jaden Daniels. I'll take a shot on him. And Xavier Worthy should have a big season, too.
It's interesting you say you take a shot on. Obviously, the Jets are going to really try and bank on Aaron Rodgers to take them far. I like them getting to the AFC Championship. Aaron Rodgers at 20-1 for the AP MVP. Could Aaron Rodgers be a sleeper in this MVP race if the Jets are one of these teams that excel and possibly win the AFC East?
Nah, not necessarily. I think what you have really right now is not prime Aaron Rodgers. This would probably look more like a guy that's going to hand the football off to a great running back in Breece Hall. And the New York Jets with that stout defensive line they got and that defense in general. So I think it's the run game and the defense if the Jets see success. If we have a season where Aaron Rodgers is sitting back there flinging it 40 times a game, then we probably look at the same old Jets.
I want to move to college football here, Corey. The first year of the 12-team playoff, obviously a unique setup with the conference champions and all the realignment that's happened. Looking ahead, we saw some action this weekend as well with some of the top teams. What do you think about the college football play? Is there like two or three teams you're really watching to either get to the semifinal or get to the final and win?
I think it's real, you know, top heavy in college football this year. Nobody's beating the Georgia Bulldogs. That number is 2-1, and that's probably the best that you're going to get it. They are the best team in college football, and they're on a mission. Well, who are they going to play? I think it's going to be the Oregon Ducks. Now, they did get off to a slow start, Dylan Gabriel, Dan Lanning, and that crew out there. But I think they'll right the ship. I think they're the best team in the Big Ten. So I look at the Oregon Ducks, and listen, I was telling people 2-3 months ago, watch out for Cam Ward and this Miami Hurricane team. They may have been the most impressive team of the first weekend of college football. Miami should win the ACC and get them a spot in the college football playoff as well. And don't forget about Utah out there in that real tough Big 12. Cam Rising, veteran collegiate quarterback. So Utah has a good shot at making that as well. So, and obviously Alabama being the mix again this year as well.
Corey, you're tempting me to take Miami at 30-1 to win it all because of that weak ACC. Corey Parson, thank you so much for being here on KJ and Lions. You can catch him on the BetQL network as well, as well as at the BetMGM. Corey, thank you so much for being here on KJ and Lions. Have a great one, my man.
Take care, fellas.
All right. So, yeah, so the good thing is we didn't get into any states stuff, right? So there's like a line on how many wins that Boston College can over under for Boston. I can't mention that.
His point about Miami was interesting because I was thinking about that was more about Florida being disappointing. Right. And he's like, no, actually, it was Miami being good. So if in a weak ACC, and if he thinks Georgia's that good, then maybe Clemson's a little better than they showed, but I still feel like Miami has the upper hand to win the ACC at least this year and maybe next year too. It's been a long time, KJ, since the U was the real deal, and maybe, hopefully, they're back to that.
Hour three of KJ and Lyons next on WEEI. Good Labor Day to you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.